Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
My next guest was just out for a run in Limerick just over a year ago when his life changed completely because a fall on the road led to the diagnosis of a benign brain tumour. Well, he's here with me in the studio now to share his story alongside his mother, Tony and Lucy Barry. You're both very welcome.
Thank you, Claire, for having us.
Lovely to have you with us. Now, Tony, I told our listeners that this is an extraordinary story and you've been through the mill over the last 13 months. Will you go back to the run and what happened?
Yeah, well, of course. So September 6th, I was out for a run. It was a lovely warm day. It was 23 degrees. Now, at the time, I was wearing a boiler suit.
Boiler suit.
So it's like what boxers would wear when they're trying to drop a few pounds to get into shape for a fight. So I had two
Your
weddings.
Mother's cringing now beside you.
Yes. She spends most of her time cringing, to be honest. But I was wearing the book. I had two weddings coming up abroad and I was trying to drop a few pounds. So when I was running, I collapsed and I had a seizure. But when I collapsed, I hit my head. Mm-hmm. So on the back of that, when I went to a hospital in UHL, they thought it was dehydration from the suit. But because I hit my head, they did an MRI. They found a growth on the right side of my brain, 5.2 centimetres. And 2 weeks later, I was down in CUH in Cork and I had brain surgery.
Right. So it was that caused the fall?
Yeah, it was.
And when did you find out about this, Lucy?
So I'm at home on the same day and I am thinking about getting my hair done, which I absolutely love doing. And I get a call from Tony and his opening words are, "Mom, don't panic now, but I'm ringing you from an ambulance." And I'm saying, "All right, okay, don't panic."
Yeah.
Okay, so he said, "I had a little bit of a fall when I was running. They think I'm dehydrated and could you collect me from the hospital?" And this is my 36-year-old son telling me this and I'm in my own mind saying, would you ever grow up? And would you ever realise that you can't run without hydration? That was my honest-to-God response at the time. But obviously, everything went off from there. And within about 48 hours of that, we had heard that he had this tumour that had to be operated on.
Right, what a fright to get.
Oh, it was unbelievable. You know, I mean, you hear of these things, Claire, and you read of it, but you never expect that it's going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. But when it does, you nearly go into overdrive from shock initially. And then you're brought along by wonderful medical people and experts in the field who are so kind and so empathetic. And it just, the whole situation takes a life of its own.
Right. And there was a moment, wasn't there? Tony's first oncology.
Oh, yes. Tony's first oncology meeting, which he had a few weeks after the surgery. And I think the radiation may have started at this stage also. So he's inside with the oncologist and the oncologist is taking him through what's ahead of him and how it's going to happen and how everything is going to proceed. And she's been awfully nice and very professional. But Tony, being Tony, wanted some black and white answers. So he starts asking her about the elephant in the room, which is, am I going to die from this? How long do I have? Am I going to die before my friends? What's it going to look like? And I'm sitting in the chair and I'm a 67-year-old woman listening to my son, who's 36, asking these questions. And there's something very unnatural about that. You know, if it was the other way around, it would be more natural. But I think perhaps that was my lowest point. I found that extremely harrowing.
Yeah, very difficult. And that's the type of person you are, Tony. You want to hear it straight, do you?
Oh, yeah. I'm black and white and don't do grey areas. So just give it to me between the eyes.
What were you told when you asked those questions?
Well, what I was told is, I suppose, initially that my tumour is slow growing and that it was benign. And it's a tumour is called an astrocytoma. So it's a low grade 2. So I was just told what the treatment would be and that I should make a full recovery after the surgery. Mm-hmm. So I started radiation a week before Christmas.
So at that point you'd had the surgery?
Oh yeah, sorry. I had surgery 2 weeks after the initial
fall. After the fall?
Yeah. Now, there's a funny story with that. Well, it's funny now looking back on it. But I was supposed to have it the Wednesday after the initial fall. Mm-hmm. So 7 days afterwards. But I was down in hospital the night before and the next morning I was just in CUH waiting for surgery. But I was meant to be fasting. But I had a coffee because I was just bored walking around.
Because a coffee doesn't count in your mind.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking in my own mind. And like, I was a bit anxious and a coffee wasn't going to help me be less anxious, but here we are. And then my brother was travelling down from Dublin and he came down. I was sitting on a bench outside and he saw the coffee cup And he said, did you drink that? And I was like, no. And he's like, did you drink that? I said, yeah. So he's like, you're meant to be fasting. So one of my best mates is a surgeon. So he said, will you call Flood and just ask him, you know, explain to him what the situation
the
is.
The surgeon?
Yeah, he's a surgeon himself. So I rang him anyway. And his first words were, game over. He said, you need to tell the medical team straight away because there was milk in the coffee.
Right.
So when I told him, they said, we're going to have to postpone the surgery because with the milk, you could actually choke during surgery.
Mm-hmm. So but I can imagine what your mother said. But anyway.
Oh,
so I'm family. In the car travelling down at this stage to Cork. And Gerald, my other son, rings to tell us this, you know, I couldn't even begin to describe what we felt like there. Yeah.
But it nearly developed into something else, didn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
it did. But on the back of that then, so my mates, you'd be in the WhatsApp group, you know, and they're wishing me well in the surgery and obviously it couldn't happen. So I was thinking, what am I going to tell the lads now? So I just put a message into the couple of groups and said that an emergency surgery came up and they weren't able to operate. But if I did...
To save your blushes.
Yes. And if I did, my mates then started giving out stink about the HSE. And one of them even said... We should ring Joe Duffy. And when I heard that, ring Joe Duffy, I was like, do not ring Joe Duffy. Like, this is all my own doing.
But did you admitted it, did you?
I had to at that stage. I was like, they were giving out so much about the HSE. I had to come clean.
Anyway, look, you eventually got through the surgery. And what happened then? Because you, before all this, you didn't live at home.
No, I lived in my own place. Right. And mom and dad were at home.
Right. So what, did you go back to your own place then?
Yeah, after the surgery, I went back to my own place for about...
Well,
go on, Luce, I'll let you take this.
What happened was when he was discharged from the hospital after the surgery, I assumed, like I suppose all Irish mammies assume, that he would come home and I'll mind him because he's a single guy, he isn't in a relationship, so where else would he go except to his mammy? So he came home anyway, and after about 3 hours of being at home, he said, you know, I have to actually go back to the apartment. I have to go to my own place. I need my own space. So... I'm there thinking, you can't do that. You're after neurosurgery. You have to stay here. And his father was, we were both kind of anxious that he stay, but no, he didn't. So I suppose, you know, we had to come to terms with the fact that while Tony has a brain tumour, he's an adult man.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a learning curve for everybody.
You
so
have that to say, night, off you go.
Off you go. So that night and the following night, I think I probably stayed up every single hour of the night wondering, is he okay? Is he going to be all right? And in the finish, he came home and... We did a bit of minding for a little while.
Right. Well, and that made total sense to do that, didn't it?
I shouldn't have done that in the first place, but it was sheer stubbornness. I just needed
But
my
it's
own
hard.
Space.
I mean,
it's
you're
hard,
in your
yes.
30s to go back home,
exactly.
But you needed the help and support, didn't you?
Yeah. It's only looking back at 100%. I needed the support in a number of different ways, you know.
So then you recover from the operation, but you have more treatment then?
Yeah. So that's when I started radiation then. So I had 30 sessions of radiation. It was 6 weeks after the surgery. So I started the week before Christmas. So a lovely Christmas present.
What
you know?
Was that like?
Yeah, it was fine. So you get a specific bespoke mask that's made for you and you're essentially clamped back in the bed and you're put into the MRI machine. So I think it was that morning that I really hit home, Claire, when I was going into first air radiation. I was in shock leading up to it.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my God, this is happening. So the same surgeon that I mentioned, I called him about 5 o'clock in the morning and I said, this is happening, isn't it? He's like, it is, man, but you're going to be fine. So radiation then, 30 sessions, Monday to Friday. So the radiation lasts about maybe 10 to 12 minutes. So it was breathing exercises that got me through it, Claire. Previously, I would never have done any breathing exercises, but on the back of the surgery, I do it every day.
Right, just to calm you
just
down.
Just to calm the mm-hmm. body down. And no coffee before the radiation.
You learned that lesson,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So you got through the radiation, then what happened?
So then there was about 6 weeks off before I started chemo. So my chemo is tablet form as opposed to IV.
Mm-hmm.
So I take 4 tablets a day, 5 consecutive days each month. So I have 7 of 12 sessions done. So each month I've had some. So I'm more than halfway there at this mm-hmm. stage.
And how does that affect you?
How does that affect me? Fatigue is definitely the biggest thing. So you hear stories of people being sick and headaches. I've got none of that. So I've been quite lucky in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But the fatigue, it doesn't set in the week of treatment. It's like the cumulative effect builds up and it's the week after treatment.
Right.
I'm just jaded. And then just some days, I just don't want to get out of bed, you know.
Yeah, it's just, I suppose, when I think about your life before, you know, living out on your own and running, going to weddings, you know, doing what normal people do in their 30s, working away. Like, everything has changed, has it?
Oh, yeah. My life has altered completely. My perception, everything, absolutely everything about my life has changed. So it's just coming to terms with just living with the tumour now. And once I finish chemo in February, that'll be a great milestone. But it is just something that my life has changed, and it's something I need to be conscious of going forward.
But you can see a bright future.
I can. Some days I can't. I'd be lying if I said I could. Like, some days I'd be very emotional and I just wouldn't want to get out of bed. Bad days, you know. Now, thankfully, they're infrequent. They don't happen that often. But when they do happen, I'd be very emotional and upset.
It's all understandable. It's all part of what you're going through, isn't it?
Yeah, so everyone keeps telling me. But you know when...
Oh, I know.
It's all well and good someone tells you something, but at the end of the day, it's you that looks at yourself in the mirror, you know, and just coming to terms with it. But I think I am coming to terms. I have come to terms with it at this stage. Yeah. So it's...
And Lucy, you've all had great support, haven't you, from family and friends?
We've had amazing support, Claire, really, you know. I mean... Tony's friends in particular have been an amazing group of people.
Incredible.
They have been nonstop in their giving and in their kindness. Our own friends, our extended family, our neighbours, so many people, so much kindness. It's incredible, really, you know. And that is very important in these situations, because you can't do anything alone by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You need support and you need kindness. And do you know what? It's all about the small things. It's really always about the small things. So we have been unbelievably lucky and kind in that. Mm. And Tony, you know, we're very proud of Tony. He has been an absolutely amazing soldier and continues to be. And yes, he's had some horrendous times where he has been so low and so sad. He hasn't been able to get out of bed. He hasn't had energy. He cries for no reason. But, you know, it is part of the process, and he is coming to terms with it, and we are all coming to terms with it along the way. And, you know, we have every reason to be hopeful. And while this tumour will probably require further surgery and chemotherapy and radiation as the years go on, we can only live in the moment that we have now. And after this tranche of treatment is over, hopefully Tony's life will go back on stream.
That is the plan, back to work.
Absolutely. Like, the biggest challenges I faced at the time were, Claire, I wasn't allowed to drive for 12 months because of the seizure. And I've had a couple of seizures afterwards. So that was tough when you're independent, living by yourself, you're single, just that freedom. And exercise-wise, like, I would have exercised 5 to 6 times a week, you know, and that had to be scaled back. So it's that part was very difficult. And not working, not driving. There's a couple of things that went against me. But I've come to terms with them now, and the exercise is coming back on, thankfully. And then I start work on November 4th.
And you're ready for that, are you? That's coming up very soon.
I can't wait. I'm absolutely, I'm very excited for it. Just the routine of it and just getting back to a bit of normal life. Yeah. You know?
How do you feel about that, Lucy?
Not
that you have a say in it now. But,
no, especially on national radio.
Doesn't stop her for trying.
I am absolutely delighted that he's going back to work, Claire. You know, if somebody had said this time last year that we would, all that has happened, and we would have got through it, I couldn't have envisaged that. So it is a wonderful thing that he's gone back to work. But yes, of course, I am concerned about his energy levels, the fact that he's still on chemo until February. You know, but it's like everything. I suppose we have learned, especially his dad and I have learned, to kind of live now and be thankful for what's happening now, and hopeful in the knowledge that as we're going forward, the right things will happen for Tony.
Did you set up a Tinder date in the hospital?
Yes, that is true.
You're not getting away with not telling us about this.
God, great researchers. So the night before surgery, I was in hospital by myself. My parents had just left. So I was just swiping on Tinder just for the crack more so than anything, because I was bored out of my head.
Yeah.
And so matched with this girl anyway and explained the situation. So she travelled over to the hospital and we basically walked around the hospital for about 2 hours just chatting.
That night?
The night before surgery.
Right.
Yeah.
What a way to spend the time.
But it
didn't go anywhere, did it?
No, lovely girl, but no, it didn't.
I don't think there was a second date.
No, there wasn't. No, I hadn't time. I was too busy getting surgery.
Listen, around Christmas now, you know, it's a good time. So,
yeah.
And you'll be back on your feet and you'll be back in work. So back on Tinder.
Back on Tinder.
He is back on Tinder.
No, I'm not back yet. Maybe soon, though. Who knows?
Listen, it's been just such a pleasure to meet you. And it's lovely to see the great relationship you have as well. You're here because National Brain Tumour Awareness Week is happening now, the 21st of October to the 27th. There's a range of events being organised by Brain Tumour Ireland, including this webinar, which you're both going to be part of. Now, if people want more information, it's braintumourireland.com and they can have a look there and perhaps join and hear more from the two of you, which I'm sure lots of people would love to do. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
We wish you well. The awareness of it.
And good luck with the job and everything else
and
happening for you.
And Tinder.
Listen, oh my especially gosh. Tinder. Especially Tinder.
Thanks,
we'll take a break.
Thank you.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.